Chapter 21. Late one afternoon, a week or so later, Mameha came up to me during a break in rehearsals, very excited about something. It seemed that on the previous day, the Baron had mentioned to her quite casually that he would be giving a party during the coming weekend for a certain kimono maker named Arashino. The Baron owned one of the best-known collections of kimono in all of Japan. Most of his pieces were antiques, but every so often, he bought a very fine work by a living artist. His decision to purchase a piece by Arashino had prompted him to have a party.
"I thought I recognized the name Arashino," Mameha said to me, "but when the Baron first mentioned it, I couldn't place it. He's one of Nobu's very closest friends. Don't you see the possibilities? I didn't think of it until today, but I'm going to persuade the Baron to invite both Nobu and the doctor to his little party. The two of them are certain to dislike each other. When the bidding begins for your mizwage, you can be sure that neither will sit still, knowing the prize could be taken by the other."
I was feeling very tired, but for Mameha's sake I clapped my hands in excitement and said how grateful I was to her for coming up with such a clever plan. And I'm sure it was a clever plan, but the real evidence of her cleverness was that she felt certain she'd have no difficulty persuading the Baron to invite these two men to this party. Clearly, they would both be willing to come, in Nobu's case because the Baron was an investor in Iwamura Electric, though I didn't know it at the time, and in Dr. Crabb's case because, well, because the doctor considered himself something of an aristocrat, even though he probably had only one obscure ancestor with any aristocratic blood and would regard it as his duty to attend any function the Baron invited him to. But as to why the Baron would agree to invite either of them, I don't know. He didn't approve of Nobu. Very few men did. And as for Dr. Crabb, the Baron had never met him before and might as well have invited someone off the street. But Mameha had extraordinary powers of persuasion, as I knew. The party was arranged, and she convinced my dance instructor to release me from rehearsals the following Saturday so I could attend it. The event was to begin in the afternoon and run through dinner, though Mameha and I were to arrive after the party was underway. So it was about 3 o'clock when we finally climbed into a rickshaw and headed out to the Baron's estate, located at the base of the hills in the northeast of the city. It was my first visit to any place so luxurious, and I was quite overwhelmed by what I saw. Because if you think of the attention of detail brought to bear in making a kimono, well, that same sort of attention had been brought to the design and care of the entire estate where the Baron lived. The main house dated back to the time of his grandfather, but the gardens, which struck me as a giant brocade of textures, had been designed and built by his father. Apparently, the house and gardens never quite fit together until the Baron's older brother, the year before his assassination, had moved the location of the pond and also created a moss garden with stepping stones leading from the moon-viewing pavilion on one side of the house. Black swans glided across the pond with a bearing so proud they made me feel ashamed to be such an ungainly creature as a human being.